Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
All right, let's dive in. We are continuing to talk about Holy Spirit. I hope you are receiving as much as I am personally, because the more I study it, the more I learn, and the more I'm learning to go after it, we'll talk about it, but being friends with Holy Spirit. I want you to turn kind of to one of our key scriptures, John 7, verses 37 to 39. We launched out of this really early on with talking about Holy Spirit. And I guess in some ways this series is really about living waters. And I say that because in John 7, 37, it says, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.'" And so, you know, really, there's a part that we need to understand. There's a part that we play to that, that he's inviting us to come to him. But really, that's an invitation for us to do. You know, you can't just often want something without, without responding to that invitation. And he says, "Hey, come to me and drink." So there's two parts to that. He wants us to come to him, and he wants us to drink from him. And then he says, "He who believes in me..." So there's a promise right there. It's not, you know, to be good enough. It's not about all the things that you have to do. And I know for some people, it's even you've been prayed for and you haven't seen tongues happen. But you need to know, it says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And then he says, "But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given." But why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. He needed to go to the cross. So you need to understand the Holy Spirit is in you. When you receive Jesus Christ and you say, "Lord," often we kind of get it backwards. We invite Jesus into our hearts, but really what we should be doing is inviting Jesus to be Lord of our life and inviting Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us. And we can get into just wording of all that, but the reality is Holy Spirit is the one that dwells within us, and Jesus, we are in him and he is in us. Romans talks about that, but we need to really make sure that he is Lord of our life. So this is talking, the scripture, about him being rivers of living water. What we need to realize right now is that what I love, and we often say, "Tag, you're it," because Jesus invites us to come and drink from him, but then he says, "Out of your heart, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water," which means that we're supposed to actually be water for other people. Living water for other people. And that is, again, Holy Spirit he's referring to. I want to, you know, often I try to do this, and I'm going to do it as often as I can, you know, reminding us that Jesus left us with a corporate why. You know, I can't remember the gentleman, just lost his name, about the why guy. He's always talking about the why. Simon Sinnott, I think his name. And he, you know, he's really big on discovering what your why is, because once you know your why, that you'll go after your passion. But, you know, we need to understand that we have a corporate why. And our corporate why is simply comes out of the Father's prayer, right? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So that's one of our whys, that our job is to bring the kingdom of heaven, the presence of God, to earth. That's a why. The how is, you know, we're going to talk about that in coming days, but the second why is go make disciples of all nations, which is really part of the first why, about bringing the presence of the Lord to earth. And so as we're talking about Holy Spirit, I want us to be aware that we connect the dots to realize that his kingdom will never come unless we're functioning with Holy Spirit. It's just that's the way his kingdom works. They couldn't do kingdom without Jesus present, but we need to realize that Holy Spirit needs to be present. So, last week we talked about, I just want to review real quick, John 16, verse 7. And, you know, man, this is such a powerful verse. And this is where, again, you were talking about this in the pre-service connect time, that Holy Spirit is not an it, it's not a what, it's not a thing. Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. And in John 16, verse 7, it says, "But I tell you the truth." Jesus, that's good. He's telling the truth. Jesus can do nothing but tell the truth, because he came as grace and truth. He says, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." And remember, we talked about the fact that they're like thinking he's going to take up his kingship and he's going to sit on the throne. So they were quite confused over the fact that he said, "It's going to be an advantage if I leave. For if I do not go away, the helper, and the Amplified says, comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be close in fellowship with you. One of the things I want to say, and Rod, you hit it, and I was like, oh, you're already going there in the pre-service prayer. You know, so often we talk about Holy Spirit, and it's easy to want to go to Acts 1 that says, and you shall be filled with power. Isn't it? It's I really want to get there, and I can't wait to get there. And you know, we got some weeks coming. We're going to be talking about Holy Spirit, but you want to start there. You're like, you want the power. And then I realized that if we start there, we do Holy Spirit a disfavor, because Holy Spirit, that is one of the beautiful things that we'll look at, but I don't think we'll get there unless we get the part that we're talking about first. And it says this, it says, it is to your advantage. Rod, did you know, and I'm sure you know this, that it's a fine line between being advantage, having an advantage, and taking an advantage. You know, I was thinking random, you know, how do I describe it? You know, there are some names in this world that have an advantage. I think, you know, if I had the last name Gretzky, you know, right? We're laughing here, a couple chuckles, because we know Wayne Gretzky. So if I had the last name Gretzky, I don't know anybody that's ever had the last name Gretzky other than Wayne Gretzky. I'm sure there are. But certainly if I said, hey, I'm Jay Gretzky, people would say, oh my gosh, are you related to Wayne? And if I were to say, yeah, he's my uncle, there would be an advantage. Yeah. And you know what? It would be really easy to take advantage of the advantage. And I think what I believe Holy Spirit, I don't think, what I believe Holy Spirit is trying to do right now is get us back to the point, the main point. Holy Spirit is to walk with us as a friend. And he is an advantage, but I'll tell you, when we go right to the power, Andrea, we are taking advantage because we're missing the point. It's kind of like, you know, and you could see it throughout. Thank goodness for the grace of God, because when Jesus was walking the earth, he would often either perceive or hear the disciples arguing about who would be the greatest, right? They're like all into this advantage. We've got the advantage of walking with the king. He picked us 12. We don't know why he picked us. Little did they know that they would betray him. They would deny him. All this, which is still remarkable that he picked those 12. But they were getting caught up with how to take advantage of the advantage. And we want to make sure we're not taking advantage of the advantage. We're actually just blessed by the advantage. And so I'm actually going to do two sermons simultaneously today. Pretty impressive. I don't know if I actually can. But I want to say this. I believe what's about to be spoken over the next few minutes is just as much about Valentine's Day as it is about Holy Spirit. Because to me, I can't do one without the other. I have to look at the fact that he is relational. And anytime we look at him being relational, if we can learn to be relational either one way or the other, if I'm really good relational with my wife, then I want to learn to be really good relational with Holy Spirit. And if I'm really good relationally with Holy Spirit, then that should influence my relationship with my wife. And so I really believe you can pull both out of this. And we do say Happy Valentine's Day to you, everyone. So remember, there's an advantage there. I love John 16, verse 7 out of the Passion. It says, but here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the divine encourager, I love that, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. We talked last week about the advantage. The advantage is the fact that Jesus was one person walking the earth. He had to be in your vicinity if you wanted to be healed. But then we learned, you know, the advantage is when he leaves, Holy Spirit comes, and it's no longer in one person anymore. He is in every person that wants to be received. So that's like, talk about multiplication. Incredible. Incredible, incredible. We also talked about the fact that the advantage was for Jesus to leave, that Holy Spirit can never dwell within us if Jesus didn't die on the cross, cleanse us of our sins, and make us a vessel that is righteous to have Holy Spirit. Two keys. We need to understand that. We talked about the fact that it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they're three in one, but they each have an interesting part that they play. And I spoke it this way. I put a thing on Facebook, if you saw it. I said, God the Father is the initiator, the Son is the administrator, and Holy Spirit manifests what needs to happen. So I use the analogy of a house being built. God the Father is the architect, you know, the plans from heaven. And don't we see that happen with Moses, where he goes on to Mount Sinai and he gets the plans for heaven and, you know, the temple. David was able to receive the temple. So we got the architectural plans. Jesus is the foreman. He's like, all right, we got the plans. We got to get this done. And then Holy Spirit moves in and becomes the workforce. And I love it. And we looked at two scriptures with that in mind. We've been talking about, you know, laying your hand and stretching out your hand. At the same time, it's the Father's hand. And I love the scripture. Matthew 12:28 says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. But then we looked at Luke 11:20 that says, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Just again, reiterating that the Holy Spirit is the hand of God. Now, Rod, this is just a little side because I think this is cool. I've been reading Exodus and Moses. Exodus 31:18. You don't have to turn there, but listen to this. Just a little side note. It says, when he had made, this is when Moses was on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. And it says, when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. I just thought that's so cool. You know, because we wonder sometimes, what's going on with Holy Spirit? Well, I believe, you know, again, it's just looking at the wording. It doesn't matter because they're three in one. But I thought it's interesting that the finger of God, which refers to in Luke being the Holy Spirit, that I believe God the Father was talking and the finger of God was writing, the Spirit of God. So we've been looking at that. Okay, so let's dive in today. I want to look at a very key verse for us today. So I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians 13:14. Josh, are we now putting those online? Do we put any of those scripture verses online? Are we able to? We're working on that. I know Josh runs around with 14 hats on. When you guys see him, you need to give him a big hug when we can. All right, 2 Corinthians 13:14. This little verse is packed with some pretty powerful things. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Just giving context, you know, if you're writing and finishing up a letter, because this is Paul writing to the church, and he's finishing up a letter to the Corinthian church, and this is how he ends. And so I think it's really important with your final words. You know, if somebody's passing away and this is your final words, it's really important to take note. And in 2 Corinthians 13, we'll start at verse 11. It says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Rod, we could just like stop there. There's so much there. You know, look at that. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. That's unity. Be in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We're not quite there yet, Canadians, but, you know, anyway, moving on. All the saints greet you, but this is the verse I want to look at. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Man, those are like really simple things to read over, but powerful things that we need to look at. So let's dive into there. Okay, so real quick, it says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, this takes us right back to the reality that Holy Spirit would not be able to dwell within us without the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the grace? It's what he did on the cross. Going to the cross, paying the price. Like, man, I think sometimes it's so easy to be in the Christian realm and forget the fact that he allowed himself, because he could have wiped everybody out. He was powerful. He allowed himself to be crucified on a cross, to be the Lamb of God once and for all for our sins to be forgiven. The grace of God. It's not that he just like, who cares about sin now? But the reality is that he paid the price for our sin. And it clearly says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. And I like to say it this way, that we who knew no righteousness could become righteous in him. So we are now righteous, and that is the grace of God. So, man, what a way to end a letter saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, reminding them that you are here, you know, Rod, you are there, and Andrea, because of the grace of God. Powerful. And then it says, and the love of God. Now, got to remember, if they only knew the Old Testament, sometimes it would be hard to understand the love of God. But I love the fact that they put in these verses, the love of the Father God really is what he's saying. This is referring to Father because he talked about Jesus Christ. He's going to talk about Holy Spirit, but he says, and the love of God, reminding them that, hey, your heavenly Father loves you. I think, you know, growing up, I've watched enough now of time frame movies in that time frame. You know, love was not always shown. Love, you know, you read the Old Testament and sometimes it's like, I'm having a hard time seeing the love here. But it was a progressive revealing of the Father. And then, you know, Jesus walks on the scene and he says, hey, we're going to pray our Father who art in heaven. And they're like, God's our Father. That's incredible. And then he says, God, the love of God. And, you know, Romans says, I want to quote the scripture, which I've just currently lost. Romans. Anyway, what can separate us from the love of God? It's Romans 8, I believe, 38, 39. What can separate us from the love of God? And then he goes on to say, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Powerful. But I want to dive into this last one. So we've got the grace of the Lord, the love of God, and then it says this word, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I want to camp there because it's something that we could read over. You know, a lot of us come from a Catholic background, and even today we took communion. So it's easy for our minds to go with communion of the Holy Spirit, taking of the body and blood. But really, it's not talking about communion in that sense. And really, we need to look at why is the wording the communion of the Holy Spirit? So I want to take a second and just a real quick story. You know, I just mentioned about we have the advantage and we don't want to take advantage. You know, growing up, I've exercised, so I'm not huge by any means, but I'm thankful that I can lift things. I've also had friends that have been really, really big. I've had a few in high school. I had a couple really big football friends. And Rod, maybe you've had this happen because I know you're strong as well. But, you know, have you ever shown up at somebody's place and they look at the size of you and then they realize, oh, this is perfect timing. And you go, oh, no. And you realize that they've just decided that they need something moved and they've just had three people show up that are strong. Hey, could I take advantage of you for a minute? And then next thing you know, you're moving furniture. Reminds me of Zach. Yeah, Zach. Oh, Zach just showed up. Hey, Zach, would you mind if I, you know, and the reality is that's okay. As friends, we could do that, but we could also be, we could take advantage. Sure. I remember growing up, we had a chance, and I don't want to give too many details, but we had a chance to vacation every once in a while at this place. But sure enough, every time we got up there, I think part of the deal that was worked out was the fact that they had a lot of work to do around this place. And if we came up for vacation, that was a great opportunity for them to get some things done. Now, there's a balance to that. I think anytime you go up and you use somebody's property, that you should be willing to help out. But it was interesting. I remember my dad a few times saying, I think I work harder on vacation than I do at home. Now, you know, thankfully we had a wonderful relationship. And so often we would do work during the day and then we'd have the afternoon or work in the morning. And then we'd spend the afternoon on the lake and we'd have a ton of fun. And then of course we'd be fellowshipping at night. And that's the healthy balance. But if you arrive somewhere and all you have is the work to do, it's like, you know, oh, hey, you're healthy. I'm going to take advantage of that. And that's all we're going to do is work. That's not cool. And what we have to realize, what I really want to hone out here is that much of Holy Spirit that we're going to look at is not talking about the power, it's talking about the relationship. And I think before we really dive into what Holy Spirit can do for us, we need to really be looking at Holy Spirit wants to be with us. And he wants to be, man, Rod, I'm sure you realize, the more I read scripture, the more I realize how relational Father God, Son, and Holy Spirit really are. And we have, unfortunately, in the church, we've made them into things that we use, maybe I want to be careful with my wording because I don't know if we've ever meant to, but sometimes we're like, oh, he's here and now we've got to do. And maybe sometimes we don't always ask, what do you want to do, Holy Spirit? Or we would just, you know, we just do tradition. We just have things happen. It's like Holy Spirit is three in one and he's fully relational. Now, how do I know he's fully relational? It says right in the beginning that we were created in God's image. And you think of how relational, Ryan, how relational are we? We are dying right now. You know, we know that anxiety is increasing. We know that suicide is increasing. Why? Because we're in isolation. And because we're lacking that communion with people, we're feeling it. So how much more, if we're created in the image of God, how much more is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relational? Because I think sometimes we fall short of the creation, right? And so they are created to be relational. So let's dive into that. Everybody good? Everybody tracking?
Yep.
Anything we need to talk about, Rod?
All good.
Rod, if you wouldn't mind opening that for me. So, all right, here we go. It's kind of weird. We're going to have bad habits that we have now that when you guys come back, we're going to be like, how do we do this with everybody here? You know, what you guys don't know is, well, Rod's up here, you know, taking up communion. Shane's packing things up, hiding under the camera. Well, we're not going to be able to do that when people are here. Oh, it's fun, the things that we do. All right, here we go. So we're going back to that scripture verse. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's look at that word communion. That communion is koinonia. Okay, koinonia. That's the word, the Greek word for communion. So it says, let's have communion with the Holy Spirit. So let's dive into what koinonia means. So when you look up the word koinonia out of that scripture, it has different words that try to make up the understanding of that word. Here they are: fellowship, companionship, communication, intimacy, sharing together, social intercourse, and partnership. Every one of those words is a relational-based word. Did you hear that? I'm going to read them again. So this is have communion with the Holy Spirit, okay? Fellowship, companionship, communication, intimacy, sharing together, social intercourse, partnership. All those words are relational words. And so as we look at this, and I'm going to pick three of them, what we're going to look at, realize that every one of these words is talking about some sort of relational, some relationship with the person that they're talking about, communion, koinonia with this person. So, ladies, you know, it is Valentine's Day, and I hope, men, that you're going to treat your wives and your, whether it's a girlfriend, a lot of times we can't see them right now, but let's just stick with our wives. Man, this is a day on Valentine's Day we really want to bless our wives. Now, I don't know about you, but if I ever hear, Rod, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but if somebody's doing marriage counseling and you say, so why do you love your fiance? Well, man, she can cook. She can clean. She cleans that house like nobody can clean that house. She can cook. Man, I love her because she's good to make babies for me. And then she'll clean the house after. You know, what are you thinking, Rod, when we're going to a marriage counseling like that? We's in trouble. I don't think this is going to last very long. And usually I'm like, honey, are you listening to what's being said right now? Why? Because that's not relational. That's, I love her because of what she can do for me. And really what we're looking at is these words for koinonia are not about what can Holy Spirit do for us. They're about relationship with us. So let's look at the first word. The first word is out of koinonia, out of the definitions, it's fellowship. So let's put that word into that scripture. And it says, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, Andrea, you know, when's the last time that we thought about just having fellowship with Holy Spirit? Part of what we did today, what I did, you know, actually during worship, what Shane was leading us in, and Rod came up, and then I had Becca continue with us. Why? Because I want to practice fellowship with Holy Spirit. We live in a day and age where honestly, sometimes, you know, we could be talking with somebody and they could have their phone out, they could have something going on, and we're not even fully fellowshipping with that person, right? They're right in front of us, flesh and blood, and that person is distracted with their phone and we're trying to communicate and we're not. You know, Andrea, does that drive you crazy like it drives me crazy? When you're literally trying to talk and they're like this and you're like, hey, I'm right here. Why don't you talk with me? I use that because I wonder how often Holy Spirit's like, hey, I'm right here. Why don't you talk with me? And I wonder sometimes if we've learned to really carve out fellowship time with Holy Spirit. Now, Rod, I don't know about you, but sometimes, and I remember you used to laugh because you'd come here and you'd be like, man, you guys use that word intimacy a lot, you know, and we're blessed we had a woman pastor. So that's easy when they just want to use that word intimacy. But as men, we're like, intimacy, you know, and it can kind of be like, I don't know how to be intimate with a man. That's just weird. We don't want to look like that. But Holy Spirit wants fellowship and intimacy with us. And, you know, we think like that, but I think it's funny that you look at David. David's a warrior of warriors. Like, this guy goes out and cuts people's heads off and then plays a harp and is fellowshipping with God the Father. Even to the point in Psalms, he says, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So he had a relationship with Holy Spirit. So here's a guy that could be a man's man and yet be intimate with Holy Spirit. And so I wonder if we really have to take time, and I would really challenge us that in 2021 to begin to seek and say, how do I create more time to have fellowship with Holy Spirit? Because I don't want to move on to power and take advantage when he wants to be at our advantage as a friend. Fellowship. That word fellowship is friendly relationship and companionship. It means sharing together. It means intimate friends like marriage. Like, this is what the word fellowship means. And this is what Paul's using. He's trying to use a word to help them understand that Holy Spirit is relational. Holy Spirit wants fellowship with you. So important. You know, sometimes I just honestly love being in the same room with Krista. I love talking. I love sometimes just watching a movie. Rod, I'm sure you're the same way. You could be in a car and not have to speak because you're just so comfortable with each other. And then every once in a while, you look over, hey, what are you thinking about? Oh, I saw that house. Did you see? Oh, I saw that house too. That's such a great, you know, there's just this, such an intimate relationship that you don't even always have to say something to know what the other person's thinking. Men, I want to speak to you. And if you don't have that relationship with your wife, if you've somehow lost that, two things I would suggest. Get relational with Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit will help you become relational with your wife. Because just like with our wives, and maybe this is happening the reverse, but we never want to take advantage of the beautiful gift that they are to us. It's not about what people can do. It's not about what Holy Spirit can do. It's the fellowship that we have. The second word I want to look at, I just said it earlier, intimacy. So we could go back to that scripture in 2 Corinthians when it says communion with the Holy Spirit. So we can already say fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and now we can say intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go too long because they're very close. You know, the wording is very close. But I'll tell you, we need to understand that Holy Spirit, just as much as my wife Krista wants to be close and intimate with me. And by the way, if we're going to use that type of language, what do you need for true intimacy? And if we're going to talk, you know, we're going to take it to that next level and be talking about true intimacy, bedroom intimacy. What do you need? You need to have alone time. You need to have time to be able to develop that relationship. One of the things Krista and I are very, very big on is making sure we get alone together. You know, in our calendars on a normal year, not a COVID year, but we put into our calendar a chance to get away because we need time to work on our relationship, to have fellowship, to be intimate. And we don't realize that when we say, hey, do devotions in the morning, we're not just talking about getting a Bible out, reading a few chapters and getting done with. We need to start realizing that you are carving out time to have intimacy with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we need to really begin to go, all right, Holy Spirit, I've just learned, maybe you've already known it, I'm sure many of you have, but I've just learned that you are relational. How do I create time and hear your voice and sense your presence? I want to learn that. I can sense when Krista walks into a room. Have you ever had that where you just don't even know, but you look and you're like, hey, you just know they were there. There's something about being close with someone. It could just be the sense that you have. It could be the smell that they carry. But that's what God wants with us. So I've used two very, very relational words, fellowship and intimacy, and I want to go with a third word. And this gets a little bit towards where we're going to be heading, which is partnership. That koinonia is actually also means partnership. Chris and I are partners. We do everything together. We make decisions together. We make financial decisions together. There's not really one thing that we do as a couple that we don't talk about. Very rarely do we even buy something that we haven't even talked about. Not because we don't trust each other. We're just so close that we talk about these things. There's a partnership. One of the ways to describe it, and the actual word is partner that is used, it's when Peter goes fishing, and we'll read it. If you want to turn to it, it's Luke 5, verse 4 to 7. Luke 5, verse 4 to 7. This is the story when they're fishing, and I can just imagine, dripping water on myself, I could just imagine what it would have been like when Peter's fishing all night, and then they meet Jesus, and Jesus is like, hey, put your net on the other side. And I'm thinking, right, you know, and it's so good when you watch The Chosen, they show you, they're literally at shore and he's like, hey, just put your net on the other side. And they're like, really? Like, you think that's going to work? So they, you know, the story goes, they put the net on the other side. And this is Luke 5, verse 4 to 7. It says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night long. Like, you got to hear the sarcasm in this. We've toiled all night long, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners, partnership in the other boat, come and help. And they came and they filled both the boats, so they began to sink. Can you, thanks Rod, just think about this for a minute, that when they had so much of a catch that they had to call their friends, and really what I'm trying to show you here is that the partnership with the Holy Spirit is so powerful that there are things that he will that will happen in our life because of our relationship with him. I want to go back to again, that is the advantage, but unless we have an intimate fellowship with him, we will take advantage. And we never want to use our advantage to take advantage. I never want in my relationship to take advantage of my wife, Krista, or my three children. We have a partnership where, hey, what do you need me to do? How can I help you? You know, you're up there cooking. You've worked all day. Can I do the dishes? Like, this is partnership. This is fellowship. You know, I'm sorry, but if you're like, well, I worked and she worked, but she has to do all the dishes and clean, there's something wrong with that partnership. We want to be so intimate that we hear our spouse's needs and realize, man, they're tired. I need to help out. Or it's just this partnership, this fluid motion of when she's tired, I pitch in. When I'm tired, she pitches in. Then I never want to be one that I just sit there on the couch while somebody does all the work around me, making my kids with a whip do all the work so I can watch a football game. That is not partnership. Partnership is this beautiful union where we work together. One more scripture. I'm going to use it in three different translations. Just again, so let's stop and think for a minute because I'm going to read this, that God, the Heavenly Father, wants to partner with us on earth. Like, okay, let's put this. God, the one that made the stars, the billions of stars that have billions of planets in billions of galaxies, that framed the earth, that makes the water stay within the boundaries, wants to partner with little old you and me, Rod. Wants to partner with Andrea. Andrea, Holy Spirit was partnering with you on the bass. Now, at one point you were playing and I could just hear it. I could hear it in the strings. Somebody would say, well, isn't that just the sound that she's playing? No, Andrea carries the presence of God. And so when she plays on those strings, we're being impacted by it. She's partnering. But Andrea, did you ever think that you're partnering with the one that created the stars, the moon, the earth? Like you're partnering with that much incredibleness. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Now, right away, you think, oh, man, fellow workers. See, it all comes down to our mindset. Another, the Passion Translation says, "We are co-workers with God. You are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building." The New King James says, "For we are," and this is what I want to look at, "for we are laborers, co-laborers or partners together with God." Now, interesting, Rod, that word laborers, the Greek is the word synergy. It literally means that we're partners, we're co-workers, we're laborers. And if you know anything about that word synergy, synergy simply means that I could do, let's do it this way. I can lift 100 pounds, Rod can lift 100 pounds, but when we lift together, we can lift 400 pounds. So how's that, you know, usually the math is if I can lift 100, you can lift 200, we should be able to lift 200. Or 100 and 100, we should be able to lift 200. But synergy means that you can do more together than you can separate. And so he's literally, think about it, he's saying, "For we are laborers, we are synergistic. When I work with you and you work with me, you can do way more than you can ever plan." And the other side to it is that he's saying, listen, when I work with you, I can do way more on this earth than I thought, because it's synergistic. Now, that makes me excited. That makes me excited. Synergy, that God wants to partner with us, with the Holy Spirit, to do more on this earth that's possible. So let's bring it back around. We have a why that he's given us, a corporate why, that he wants heaven to come to earth, and he wants us to make disciples of the nations. If we look at that in a time like we are in right now, it is so overwhelming, Rod. There are so many leaders and pastors that we're thankful to have a beautiful body here of support, but there are pastors that are overwhelmed by what has happened over the last year. And you think, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to survive in my business right now. I'm just trying to survive as a pastor, whatever it would be. And then he says, listen, I want you to bring heaven to earth. I want you to disciple, no, not people, nations. Well, how is that possible? The only way that is possible is through a fellowship and an intimacy with the partner of Holy Spirit. But it needs to start with the fellowship and the intimacy, the communion of the Holy Spirit. And once we understand that, just like our relationship with Jesus, that he wants to walk with us and talk with us. And Rod, there are so many scriptures where you can see that they were listening to Holy Spirit. Peter has a dream, and he's supposed to go and eat things that he's not supposed to eat and fellowship with people he's not supposed to fellowship with. And he hears the Holy Spirit say, go, because he partnered with Holy Spirit. There are so many things where, you know, Paul, he's like, I wanted to go here, but Holy Spirit said no. I wanted to go here, but Holy Spirit said no. They would be doing things, and Holy Spirit would speak and go, now. Holy Spirit would speak and say, wait. Why? Because they were intimately acquainted with Holy Spirit, so then they could partner with him. So often we want to get to the partnership. What can that partner do for me? You know, what can that advantage of that high-level partner do for me? Like, he is the senior partner in this relationship. And it's easy to go, what can that advantage do for me? But I go back to that advantage is taking advantage. You know, if anybody on their wedding day, we talked about it, said, well, my wife is going to do all the work. I'm going to have an advantage now because I've been a bachelor and now I have the advantage of my wife doing all the work. That's taking advantage. It's not a partnership. It's not synergy. That's one person doing it all. So what does that look like for us right now? It literally means for me, I'm going to speak personally. As I read this, I'm like, Holy Spirit, first of all and foremost, forgive me. If I have ever taken advantage without realizing. If I moved from fellowship to the power, because I've read about you being power and I wanted the power so we could be, you know, hey, let's be real. Sometimes it could be, I want to be successful in ministry. You know, we want to grow the church. Of course we do. But if it's like, I want to take advantage of what you have, then it's wrong. So Holy Spirit, forgive us if we've ever wanted to use your advantage to our advantage. And I'm saying right now, Holy Spirit, help me to carve out time. You know, I started the Monday or Tuesday with, good morning, Holy Spirit. That the greatest thing you could say in the morning, hey, good morning, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? The cool thing is, there's going to be times where he'll say, well, what do you want to do today, Jay? I want to go where you're going. Does that mean that I get up and I don't do anything until Holy Spirit says, go here, go here? Nope, that's not how it works. But it does mean that I need to learn to attune my ear to go, Holy Spirit, what are we up to today? Holy Spirit, I'm going to work today. Does anybody need something? Does anybody need that living water to flow out of me today? Holy Spirit, I'm at the shopping, you know, I'm at No Frills, I'm at wherever. Holy Spirit, how could I partner with you to be living waters to those around me? Holy Spirit, there are people that are in chaos right now. There's confusion and there's void. There's, Holy Spirit, how can I hover with you? How can I be that living water? How can I be your presence on the earth? How can I in this moment bring heaven to earth? How can I partner with heaven and bring your presence to the earth? The only way that happens is with the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, church, it also goes, if you have those little things in your life that you're like, I can't get rid of this habit. Holy Spirit, would you partner with me? Holy Spirit, would you come into me and partner with me? Holy Spirit knows. He's not oblivious. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was going on. He totally knows what's going on. And I really believe he's waiting to go, hey, partner with me. I'll be that influencer in your life to help you walk through this. For some of you, and I've heard some great testimonies of people during the last year that just were like, I'm done with smoking. I'm gonna get rid of smoking. I'm sure Holy Spirit helped you. That is amazing that some of you just are trying to get healthier than you've ever been. I love it. But Holy Spirit is our partner. Holy Spirit is our fellowship. Holy Spirit is our intimacy. So today, you know, as we take time in our relationships, you know, maybe it would be a great question within a relationship to go, honey, do I ever take advantage of you? Maybe you don't want to do it on Valentine's Day. Maybe do it tomorrow. But for some of you, it's a great conversation to just go, hey, I hope I never take advantage of you. If I do, let me know. Because we're not just partners, we're intimate. We're in relationship together. And I never want to do something that just feels like I'm taking advantage of you. And that's great to be able to go, Holy Spirit, I hope I never take advantage of you. I want to walk with you and talk with you. So church, before we get to the power section, we need to have this section down. Or else we're going to be guilty of taking advantage of the advantage. And we don't want to do that. So remember, he's your fellowship. He's intimate. He's your partner. He's your encourager. He's the divine encourager. He's your advocate. He's truth. He's your counselor. He's your strength. He's your standby. Why would we not want to be in close relationship with Holy Spirit? It's not an it. It's not a dove. It's not fire. He's a person of the Trinity. He's the deity of the Trinity. So often we say he's a dove, but you know that doesn't say that he is a dove. It says that he came down in bodily form like a dove. It's describing how he descended. It says they showed up on the day of Pentecost like tongues of fire or as the sound of rushing wind. It doesn't mean that he is fire or he is wind, but it sounded like that when he walked into the room. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you into a whole nother relationship level. Would you teach us? I thank you that you're not angry. I thank you that you're excited. That you, doesn't matter if you have known Holy Spirit for 40 years, 50, 60 years, or if you're new to Holy Spirit, he's like, this is awesome. I get to have fellowship with my kids. They get to know me and I get to know them. I feel like right now he is excited. Like he's a kid in a candy store going, man, this is going to be so good. If they let me into their life, if they welcome me to be intimate and have fellowship to koinonia, if they're wanting me to partner with them, this is going to be so good. So we just ask Father God in 2021 that we would partner and we would have communion with Holy Spirit to a level that we've never known before. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your voice. We want to hear when you have a subtle, hey, go left or go right. Hey, why don't you stop here and talk to this person? So Lord, I thank you that you are not only the voice that directs us, you are actually the living water that pours out of us after you've directed us. Like, you're so amazing. So Holy Spirit, just attune our ear to hear you more. May we have closer fellowship with you in 2021. Than our entire life put together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.